can be tuning in the background. That's nice.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
That's right, it's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Sheena Metal. Every Monday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, we talk to folks who are raising the vibration, bringing positivity, joy, love, optimism into the world. Peace, love, kindness, and unity. Those are the four cornerstone words for my movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity. That is, well, obviously, I just said that twice. That's at IamRaisingTheVibration.com. And at raisingthevibration.org, that's our new nonprofit hub, and our website will be finished there soon. You can go and see it as it's being built and see all the new things being plugged in there all the time. The Vibration Nation is our online community, over 12,000 strong, and we're so proud of it. And then I have my own spiritual, motivational uplift practice at IamRaisingYourVibration.com. Please join me there as well. I would love it. Every week on the show, I have somebody special, and my friend Stephen Day, who's been a guest on my daily show here at LA Talk Radio, the Sheena Metal Experience, recently sat in with me with his Sarode on my Music Highway show that's on LA Talk Radio on Wednesday afternoons, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And we did a meditation that we're going to do tonight, and we did so many awesome things that I decided that it was time for him to come and do Raising the Vibration, which he had been bugging me to do for a while. And he's brought his wonderful percussionist, Colby Beers, is with him. And we're going to start right out with some music and have some fun. Stephen's just tuning right now, and then we're going to be rocking and rolling. So they're going to start out with one of his ragas, Rag Malkunts, and we're going to start that at any moment. So I think we might even be starting to start it now. Welcome to the show, my friends. Let's do this. Thank you. Beautiful. Wow. Thank you, guys. That was wonderful. That's Stephen Day and Colby Bears. And wow, that was completely gorgeous. So we're going to put the music in this hour, and then in the next hour, Stephen's going to do a little meditation with me and Colby, and then we're going to chit-chat and get to know both of these guys a lot better. So we've got another raga to do. Why don't you set this one up for me a little bit, Stephen? I don't know what this one is called because I didn't think to ask. Welcome to the show, my friend. It's so wonderful to have you here. I'm lulled into serenity by your raga. Welcome, Colby.
This piece, that was again Meryl Collins, this piece is called Rag Kirvani. We're playing music and ragas from the album that we're
beautiful.
Releasing. Yeah, coming right up.
And what is the album called?
It's called One Heart Road.
Love that. All right, so let's do it. Let's do another raga. I'm ready to go. Welcome, Colby. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
And tell everybody what your it's a tabla?
This is the tabla set. One drum is called, on this side is also called tabla. This side is called the bayan. It's a bass drum. Two drums.
And you're actually doing two different things at one time with your hands.
Kind of. It's a good that you asked.
So you
that.
Can pat your head and rub your tummy at the same time.
It's actually, all of it is actually controlled by a language. So I'm not thinking right and left hand, but I'm thinking when I play a certain note called, for example, da, it's two notes at one time. So I won't be thinking right
interesting.
Or left. So there is a composite that comes out of it, but it's all language based. That's guiding what I'm playing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. It's like Morse code.
Yeah, sure.
But with two hands.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's wonderful. Okay, so we're gonna meet the guys in the next hour. We're going to talk about to them, and we're just waiting for the Sarod to get tuned up again. That funky Sarod. She's a high-maintenance girl, and she needs to be tuned every 5 seconds. But, boy, she still is. She sure is beautiful. And I'm getting good at this. I knew when the last raga was over. I am learning the ways of the raga, my friends. You're listening to Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. If you're looking for us, we're at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com, LATalkRadio.com. I'm your host, Sheena Metal, and I'm at SheenaMetal.com. And I'm also at IamRaisingTheVibration.com. That's the movement that started this show. It's called I Am Raising the Vibration of the Nation and the World. And we're also getting our nonprofit hub together. And when that site is finished, it's at RaisingTheVibration.org. You can go there now and play with what's there. I also have my own spiritual practice at IamRaisingYourVibration.com. And we have an online community at TheVibrationNation.com. We have over 12,000 people there sharing the love, sharing the peace, love, kindness, and unity. And then I just started a new blog and vlog, which is going to be at AVibrationNation.com. I haven't built the page for it yet, but it will also be a part of the RaisingTheVibration.org site, and we'll get our Facebook present up. We've got a video up on Facebook right now about positivity, but we will get a page up for A Vibration Nation soon. So much to do, my friends. So very much to do. All right, here we go. Another raga for you. It's Raising the Vibration Radio. I'm Sheena. We'll be back after this. Right now, Stephen and Colby. Thank you. unbelievably beautiful. I don't have a voice. I'm just sitting here listening to it, I lost my voice. It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're right back with you with Stephen Day and Colby Beers talking about what just happened in the last 45 minutes. That was amazing, and my vibration is humming. We'll take a quick break, and then we're right back with you. Thank you all for listening, and I can't wait to come back and introduce you to these wonderful guys.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Larry Russ, former keyboardist and vocalist for Iron Butterfly, and I'm here to tell you about that abuse is an epidemic in our world. Abuse has many forms, spousal and child abuse, sex and human traffic victims, and sexual abuse. Musicians Against Abuse wants to do something about it, and you can help. Contact maabuse.com. That's maabuse.com. Join me and let's do something about it. maabuse.com.
Alcohol-related harm affects us all. Everyone knows someone who's been touched. Alcohol-related harm ranges from lost jobs to serious mental and physical disease, from ruined family life to property damage, from violent crime to homelessness, death, or prison. Go to alcoholjustice.org and sign up for action alerts and e-news. Then you'll be ready to add your voice to many others when it's time to call for action that will reduce alcohol-related harm.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. So join me 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time at www.latalkradio.com on Channel 1. And let's explore All About Guitar.
When was the last time a song made a difference in your life? If you're a songwriter who would like to help the victims of the recent hurricanes, your music can make a difference. By offering one song download for just $1, you can help bring aid and hope to those in need. To find out more information and join songwriters Michelle Mangione and Grace Slick in this effort, please visit writersforthestorm.com. That's W-R-I-T-E-R-S forthestorm.com.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
When Debbie Fragner gave birth to Maddie, she imagined a world of possibilities. But when her daughter was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, a neurological condition that impacts a person's ability to move and maintain balance, she had to adjust her expectations. Cerebral palsy affects 1 in 323 children in the U.S. While this diagnosis may limit Maddie's physical abilities, it doesn't limit her ability to dream. Maddie is now 9 and has a dream to dance, which inspired the creation of the Children's Cerebral Palsy Movement, a nonprofit dedicated to the design and funding of innovative therapies that address not only the physical challenges of these children, but their dreams as well. As part of their Community Giving Day program, Whole Foods Market will donate 5% of net day sales to our movement on June 15th at their Tustin location and June 22nd in Newport Beach. Your purchases on these days will help further our cause. For more information, please call 714-746-4085. That's 714-746-4085.
Hi, my name is Michael Vaccaro. I have a groovy web series called Child of the 70s with some really groovy people in it, including Bruce Valanche, Jerry Jewell from The Facts of Life, Ted Lange from The Love Boat, comedian Judy Tenuta, Carolita White from Laverne and Shirley, Ann Walker from Sordid Lives, Amy Linker from Square Pegs, Gina Heck from Mork and Mindy. We have Johnny Hazard, Leo Forte, Terry Ray, Chuck Sakula, and LA Talk Radio legend Sheena Metal. I play this guy who idolizes a 1970s TV star, but then he gets a job as her personal assistant. You know how they say that you should never meet your personal idols? Well, you know, you can find us on YouTube, Funny or Die, Out TV, and you can also go to our website, www.theofficialchildofthe70s.com. It's groovy. Hey, did I say that already? Yeah, it's groovy.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Sue Hamilton, and on November 9th, 2016, Artists Rise Up Los Angeles was created in response to the election and its results.
Through original theater and art, Arula creates and inspires positive political and social change.
And gives all its proceeds to charitable organizations such as ACLU and Planned Parenthood.
Join us
at artistriseupla.com
or on Twitter at artistriseupla.
Did you know that healthcare institutions provide arts programming for patients, families, and staff because of their healing benefits? Shorter hospital stays, better pain management, and less medication. Believe in the art. Go to www.mvcaf.org and click the donate button on any page. Support the Moreno Valley Cultural Arts Foundation.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com. RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm at SheenaMetal.com, and I am the founder of a movement of peace and love and kindness and unity that's at IamRaisingTheVibration.com and our new nonprofit hub, which is RaisingTheVibration.org. Please join us there. We also have a wonderful online community at TheVibrationNation.com because we are the Vibration Nation, my friends. And please visit us there. And just everywhere, if you type in Raising the Vibration, it probably leads you to me. My guests all this show, who just played so beautifully in the last hour, two fantastic ragas. Stephen Day is here and Colby Beers. Stephen has been on other shows of mine, but is making his debut on this one. Colby has never been on a show of mine and is making his debut on this one. Welcome, my friends. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thanks. We're happy to be here.
So good to have you here. So, Stephen, explain really quick to folks about what a raga is and sort of the history of a raga and how it not only is music for your ears, but it's also a movement for your soul, right?
Absolutely. History, real quick, imagine, I don't know how many centuries ago, but thousands of years, sages and saints in the beauty of nature and meditation, wanting a little bit of ornamentation to that meditation and in the harmony of the spheres and the beauty of the nature, adding something called the raga. Ragas are tuned to the different times of day and night, and that's their speciality. So when you play, for instance, the right raga at the right time, the magic happens. Morning raga, evening raga, afternoon raga.
It's beautiful.
Late night.
So folks in not just folks of East Indian descent, but folks who are fans of ancient Indian spirituality, they actually listen to ragas throughout the day as sort of medicine for the soul.
Absolutely. But I maintain in this day and age, it's this very special age that we live in. raising the vibration is Indian classical music is for everybody. And I don't mean just on in the background, but to understand it fully and deeply is for everybody. And to really get involved in the same level of depth as those mystics did is time. It's time for us
now. I absolutely agree. And I think that it's, I talk about this on all of my shows here at LA Talk Radio, that we're starting to get to the point where we're acknowledging the energetic properties of art, as well as how it hits your eyes and ears and nose. And I mean, everything artistic, from paintings to food to music to theater. I mean, all of those things, you take them in a sensory way, energetically, every bit as much, if not more so, than you take them in with your five senses.
Absolutely. Art has vibrations. And we feel those vibrations without necessarily knowing it. But when we become conscious of art with vibrations, it is a wonderful thing. And that's absolutely in painting. Why do people flock to the Mona Lisa? I mean, why? Is it the paint strokes? Is it the technique? Or could it be maybe more? Could it be vibrations?
Yeah, I think it's something. I think every artist puts a little bit of their own essence into everything they do. And people are drawn to that energy.
Mm. Absolutely.
And we're realizing that more and more and more now.
And with this music, I combine it with meditation and knowledge of the chakras. So actually the notes are aligned with the chakras within us. So there's a physiological, subtle system approach and connection between music and meditation as well, which is another reason that the vibration is heightened by the music.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's something that I think that people have been doing their whole lives with whatever music they listen to. But when you listen to this music that's so designed to affect you spiritually, it's just sort of like that to the nth power. It heightens everything.
I think that people are seeking not just stress relief anymore. You know, there's a certain point when, you know, it's like, oh, I got stress from the job, I got stress from this home, whatever. I got to get a massage. I got to do yoga. That helps. Fitness helps.
Sure.
But what about beyond that? What about at the end of yoga when everybody lies down for 5 minutes? Is that just a sleepy time? Is it just kind of like, oh, I'm just, you know, done? Or is it the beginning of a new era of meditation, a new consciousness, a new vibe whereby it's strength? It's meditation is strength. It's when you've cleared out and gotten through that stress relief stuff, then you're ready. You're only beginning, and that's the portal. And I think with a lot of musicians from the West, like Colby and myself, we started on different instruments. He started on the drums, I started on guitar, and you know, we went through a journey in music that way as musicians. But then we wanted more, we wanted something different, and that drew us to a totally new kind of music and a new kind of life. Because to play Indian classical music, really play it, you got to change your life. Things got to change.
So the music changes you.
Oh yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's part of the journey, part of the path of the seeker. And we do it through music.
Yeah.
And listeners do it through music, too.
I thought everybody did it through art. Maybe that's just something I've always done. But I think art is a wonderful portal to the beyond.
And I suppose, people, whether they appreciate art and not necessarily play it or act it.
Either way. It's the same portal to the beyond.
Brings us to the now.
Yeah, and I find like theaters and music venues feel like churches to me.
Mm.
They feel very holy.
Yeah, the stage is
holy.
And
there's something about just the way that they smell.
Mm.
You walk in and you smell them, and I'm like, oh, this church. You know, like churches have a distinct smell. When you walk in the church, no matter what kind of church it is, it's like the church smell. And it's the same thing with artistic venues. Mm. You know, comedy clubs have their own smell. I'm a smell person.
Yeah.
Theaters have a theater smell because it's the energy of all the things that have happened there.
Mm.
You know? Music venues, you smell like vomit and sadness. But it's still a smell, guys.
They have
smell.
That smell.
Go with me here.
At least they don't have dead bodies underneath their floors.
Oh, like the comedy clubs?
Well, do they have? I know some churches buried the dead underneath them.
Really?
So that's why I was referring to that.
I think comedy clubs have bodies buried under there, too.
Maybe they do.
Yeah.
those gigs gone bad. I'm not sure. Train wreck.
So awesome. So I was thinking about, as you were talking about laying down after yoga.
Yeah.
I was thinking about how when people design a perfect physiological workout, it's almost kind of like a raga, right? It starts with stretching, which is kind of getting your body in tune.
Right.
And then it starts with slow things. Mm. It kind of crescendos up into the super high impact stuff. And then instead of just ending, it winds back down and it ends with the stretching. It's very much like a raga.
Yeah, I think there's a natural structure in the universe created that way.
Yeah, for, the bell curve of... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of everything.
Yeah. Four petals in the Muladhara chakra is the basis of everything, the carbon atom. And that basic number of four is a foundation for a lot of structure, basic structure, four times. 16 sure. in Indian music is four times four. And, of course, there are other beautiful numbers and things that happen. But four is a very, you know, the structure of four is a very natural structure, which the raga takes very easily.
Yeah, it's interesting how so many things in life are designed to be just like that. Mm. Starting little, building up into something huge, and then instead of ending, winding down.
A good meal.
A fantastic meal.
Courses.
Yeah.
Take your time.
Courses, exactly. which, if you're eating traditional Indian food... It's all about courses, right?
Yeah, well, my Italians, I think.
Italians like courses,
Italians,
too.
It's always a three-hour dinner.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. When I was listening to this time, and I haven't thought about this when you played for me before, Stephen, how much the sarod almost reminds me of traditional Greek music.
Interesting. Yeah, there's an element of
some
that.
Some of the chords and the tonalities remind me of Greek music, which I love.
Yeah. Well, you know, and every individual plays differently as well. I had a touch of that. Because of my background. My mom's a Greek, so I got a little bit of that. I might be adding a flourish or two of that in there. And that particular raga, the last one we heard, is part of the minor scales in Western music. So it's a little closer to our ears than some of the more, kind of exotic ragas.
Yeah.
So there's that particular piece we just last played. I'm at it, bringing that out a little bit as well.
Now, how many ragas are on the new CD?
Two ragas, two full-length traditional ragas, one...
But neither of the ones you just played?
Both of the ones we just played.
Oh, wow, okay.
We keep playing them over and over. We just want people to love them and
nice.
Listen to them.
Nice, okay, great.
Yeah, and this is a taste. They're different on the album, of course, by the CD. But, they're definitely more crafted on the album, and they're longer. There's a 23-minute raga, the one we just played, Kirvani, and then there's a 37-minute Rag Malkontz, which builds, has that same build, but it just allows it to sort of build up over a little bit more of a period of time. And then there's a music and meditation exercise with the Sarodhan vocals, which is a way to just tune yourself and the chakras. The music and the notes of the ragas are tuned to our chakras, and we go through them, all seven of them, note by note, by doing a little humming, a little bit of singing, opening up ourselves and our throats. And then in order to open up the most important seventh center, the seventh chakra, the crown chakra, otherwise known as the Sahasrara, when that opens up, we are in the land of the same place that Buddha was, Nirvana. Christ described it as the kingdom of heaven. Saints and sages over the centuries have described it in different ways. The Ru, the energy, it's been described as, and we become connected to that through our meditation and music.
I like to call it home.
Home.
That's how
that.
I refer to it. I think we all do our time here and maybe many times, and then we go home. Mm. And that's sort of where we connect to where we really belong.
Yeah.
I think this is sort of like boarding school. You come and you take a class for 90 years.
Right.
And then it's time to go home.
Yeah. Yeah. Om. Home.
Home. Right. Exactly. Right.
Om. Home.
I want to go om. People, anybody's listening. Colby, where are you from? And then when did you know that you were a musician in your soul? And then how did this music overtake you?
So where am I from? I am from...
There you are, my friend.
Santa Barbara, mainly.
Okay.
Went to Santa Barbara. But then after that, I went over to CalArts, which is in Valencia.
Sure.
And that's where I discovered tabla. Before all that, I played marching percussion for, 12 years before that.
Okay.
And so that's kind of where I
started.
So you
did that in school?
High school and onwards, that's where I started my...
Okay, and that was in Santa Barbara?
That was in Santa Barbara. And I did a number of different ensembles out of that.
And what did you play mostly in marching band?
Strictly marching quads.
Okay. So
they're like six drums, and you wear them, and they're really heavy. You're my poor back after yeah. that many years.
Oh, my God, your poor back, yeah.
But it was totally worth it. And that's where I developed kind of a rudimental sense about percussion, which I felt transferred very easily into tabla when I first started learning, because of the kind of independence between the hands and a lot of intricacies between those two hands.
Okay, so when you're playing the quads, oftentimes both hands are playing at once, and they're not always playing the same thing.
Not always, no.
Okay.
A lot of different combinations in order to make different sort of musical patterns.
Okay.
Which, again, also just like tabla, has a big similarity there.
And I would think that's something that would be difficult for a lot of folks. Not everybody can... Like, I'll give you an example. Okay, so I was a musician as a child, and I was fantastic as a child. So take that for what it's worth. I was a great drummer in orchestra until I got... two different times I tried to take set drumming.
Uh-huh.
And I can make two hands do two different things, but if I add a foot and two hands, I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't do it. And it's not a thing that comes to me. I teased you during the... I don't know, on or off air, if you could pat your head and rub your tummy at the same time. I'm honestly not sure if that was on air or off air. So it's not everybody can do that. And I can actually do that, but if I had a third hand, I wouldn't be able to do that. I couldn't scratch my nose at the same time I did the other two.
Oh, yeah.
But you can really, I mean, your hands are really working independently of each other.
Independently, but also codependently. And so a lot of what's a little bit different about the marching percussion versus the tabla is that the tabla is guided by language. So I said just a little snippet earlier, but to go off that again, like if I'm not thinking right and left hand on this. I'm thinking if I'm going to say play a very common bull, which is called, or a bull, which is like a word or phrase, da is like very common, D-H-A. And that is a right and a left hand attack at the same time. So I don't think right and left, I just think da, and out comes that. And I've practiced that sort of language and then made the associations for a very long time.
So da is two hands down together.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a certain specific sound on the right hand with an open sound on the bass drum.
Okay.
There's another, you can make a combination of that, which could be like da tete, da tete, da da tete. And so it would be both hands together on da, and tete is a closed sound with the right hand. So you would build sort of combinations based on this language. So in a way, that almost, it actually makes it a little bit simpler, because I think if you're thinking right and left all the time, it would actually be a lot more complex. So you'd get lost in it.
And if you think of it as like a bass hand and a...
And a treble
hand. And a treble hand.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know if it was called a treble hand, but if you think of it like that and break it almost down to what it's like to play piano, then it is kind of like oftentimes the bass hand is doing the more rudimentary stuff. It's like the bass drum in a set.
Yes.
And then the other hand is doing more what you would be doing
melody.
On a snare. It's kind of like bass drum, snare drum.
Yes. I would liken that.
But even more intricate. Because there are different sounds that you can make. I mean, it is like set drumming, only with two hands, right? Because there are things that make more of a drumming sound, things that make more of a percussion sound, things that make more of a tapping sound. I mean, the tabla itself has different textures to the head of it.
Yes, there's like maybe, you know, 8 to 10 different sounds you can make. I'm just sort of guessing off the top of my head. I'd have to like sit down and check it all, but
the rims make a sound?
Not so much. They kind of stay away. Well,
it sounds
right
sort of like
though.
It sounds like you're kind of clicking the edge sometimes.
Yes, there's some.
And then the head itself has like three different surfaces, right?
Yes, and even within those three different surfaces, there's different sort of combinations you can make within all of those surfaces. So
that's amazing.
It can be a lot.
When Stephen was on my Music Highway show with the Sarode, there was one part where he was actually kind of tapping the head of the Sarode, which is also like a drum head.
Yeah.
I guess as he was playing, and I thought, is there a drum somewhere? He was working a drum with his foot or something was happening.
Yeah.
But that too is an instrument that can have many different sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does. It's got a drum head essentially on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
It has a built-in drum.
It is. Exactly. And so the coconut shell pick or plectrum that I'm playing with my right hand is literally tapping against the head of the Sarode, which is sheepskin. And
adding a more percussive nature to it.
Yeah, another dimension.
Wow, so you started playing the tabla at CalArts.
Right.
And then, Colby, when did you know that was something that you were going to actually want to do, like, in real life?
Pretty much as soon as I started playing it.
Okay.
It kind of, you know, took some time to kind of build up vocabulary, but... as soon as I started to play it, and actually when I first saw a video of my now guru, I saw him on YouTube, which is nowadays where you probably find a lot of things, but that I was just so awestruck by it that I was like, I have to learn that. And, whoa, what do you know? He's at the school that I'm already going to. So when I first started at CalArts, I actually enrolled as a what they call multi-focus percussion, which is essentially your main, it's really everything, but your main focus is like timpani, snare drum, you know, marimba. And I just did a year of that, and then I had to make the switch in my major in order to study with him more more often. So it was a year after I started in that school.
So kind of like with Steven, you sort of got exposed to it, and it kind of awakened a part of you.
Yeah.
And became a passion.
Yeah.
The passion.
Yeah,
pretty And much. Now you play that more than anything.
More than anything. I have other drums, too, that I play, a lot of different hand drums, but I probably spend 95% of my time practicing.
But even with the other hand drums, you're doing mostly traditional music of some sort or another.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And mostly Indian music?
I play a couple Indian drums, including tabla, but I also play stuff, I play rik, which is a Egyptian tambourine. I play gong kebiar, which is gamelan from Indonesia, Balinese specifically. I play awe percussion from Ghana, and also dogomba in another region in Ghana.
Yeah, but this is all like hardcore indigenous music.
Yes.
You're not like, oh, and sometimes I jam with my friend's alt-rock band. I mean, your stuff is
but
all...
I do that, too. I have sort of an in-the-works ensemble right now where we're trying to find a fusion between all of these cultures and how can
Love
we
it.
Make the... How can we make... how do we communicate between those two things? Or
yeah.
whatever the combination might be. So we'll combine African with Indonesian with Indian and
I
see where
that.
They meet up, see where they're different.
Right.
And a lot of time, there's just so much commonality between the cultures.
Well, even with the ragas, and I think I told you this when you were here before, Stephen, I'm of Irish descent, and I can almost hear sometimes the rhythmic patterns of ragas remind me of traditional Irish music.
Yeah.
So I think we all came from the same place. I mean,
right.
we all started right with Lucy, mm-hmm. and we're all basically a species of the same people. And
right.
and interestingly enough, as we were spread all over the world in ancient times, not knowing other continents existed, we all had very similar spiritualities. So it would make sense that we all as well had very spiritual music. I mean, I think it's mm-hmm. kind of the collective unconscious of the everything.
Going to the source,
yeah.
energetically with those ragas, we can start to go deep into the what I call the hadal zone, which is a term that's used for the deepest part of the ocean, but I use it for the deepest part of the soul, a place that I personally need to be able to access in order to actually record one of these pieces, you know, leave it for posterity. You don't want to go just halfway down. You got to go all the way into the deepest and darkest and also most interesting places within the soul in order to get the treasures that are really down below and then bring them out and put them in a beautiful format that people can enjoy. But it is really a deep kind of a dive within yourself that happens in order to get to the essence of the music, the character of the raga, you know, those kinds of things.
And just playing this kind of music all the time, I mean, has it changed both of you? Spiritually, emotionally, to just be connected to this all the time?
I think it's a soundtrack to the journey you go on. Like, you know, I was always interested in the soul's journey. At the age of 7, I saw the sun burst through and look on my skin, and I looked at myself, and I became conscious of being a human being, and I started to wonder what that was, and it went on from there. At 21, I made my first trip to India. At 31, 32, I picked up a sarod, and you know, now it's here with albums and communication, and but it's all part of the reflection process. It's all part of going deeper. It's all part of the soul's journey, and the different phases in life, which allow us to reflect upon our existence. There's a saying: Sat Chit Ananda, truth, consciousness, and bliss. And it's just different forms of that manifesting in the different phases of life. Here we are, manifesting it. Yeah.
Manifesting on my Raising the Vibration show. Colby, how about you? How has it changed you?
For me, the main thing I have so far, I haven't been playing for that long, only for about 5 years now. And so one of the main things I've noticed about myself is that my focus is different. About life and just how I practice has completely changed, and I notice that it affects the way that I approach other activities. So I think, and you know, the way that Indian North Indian music, particularly in this case, requires of your practice is a little different than other instruments. So I feel like that.
And you have you both have beautiful traditional clothes that you play in, but Colby, yours is particularly sparkly.
Oh,
it's purple and it's bedazzled. You really went for it.
Oh, thank you.
You seem like such a mellow, quiet dude, and then you came out and you were all like ready for Vegas, and I'm like, wow, that's fantastic. That's like awesome. I joke all the time, but you guys are sitting here now. Was working here for almost 10 years at LA Talk Radio, and sitting in front of this, watching a sunset every day, has changed my life. And stepping into a place 10 years ago where I interview people professionally, a lot of my other radio shows had been call-ins and shock jocking and all that stuff that's so popular, but being able to share people's stories every day and doing 18 hours a week and being in that kind of present place of isness where when I'm here, this is all I can do is be here, has changed my life. And it's interesting how even those of us that have considered ourselves seekers their whole lives, sometimes the universe hands you something or puts you in a position where you sort of have to be in it all. And just being in the now and in the present and in the isness and watching the sunset, it does things. I call it spiritual rewiring. I mean, it really goes in and it rewires you and it changes you. And it can be just spending an hour playing two ragas.
Right.
Or one raga, depending on the length of the raga. See what I've learned?
Yeah, there you go.
I was joking that I was teasing my friend Probot, who has been here on the show, and he's of Indian descent and very spiritual and very into the vegan movement and consciousness movement. And I was telling him all about Stephen and the sarod and the ragas, and he was like looking at me like he had no idea what I was talking about. And I said, yeah, I've officially become a better Indian person than you, Probot. He's like, yeah, that's absolutely true.
There you go.
And that's a shame, but I think sometimes when folks immigrate here or somewhere else, they're eager to assimilate and leave their cultures behind. You know, my mom used to always say that I made her Irish again because, you know, she was born of people who were trying very hard to not be Irish and just be Americans, mm-hmm. and didn't know a lot about the traditions of Ireland or the ancient traditions of the spirituality or anything until I helped her with it. So it's a shame when people let that go because there's a beauty in that indigenous culture. Even if it's not your own ethnicity, even if you just find an indigenous culture you love and run with it. Stephen?
Yeah, there's a book I read in my seeking days, which have never ended, but called The Alchemist, I believe. And the message is that basically, you know, after the journey and all the trials and tribulations, actually the answer is right there in your heart. It's a treasure chest that was there all the time. And that's your soul, your roots. It's all bundled up in like what you call the spiritual rewired self.
Yeah.
And it's been there the whole time, ironically, but you have to go through this, you know, rather large sometimes and perhaps even dramatic sort of movement of life in order to shift and move and go through and, you know, see it from different angles and then come back to a resting place of peace where you can reflect upon your soul and take those moments in the day and just really imbibe them and go, This is a miracle. This is a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
You know, and
it's necessary for your enlightenment, for your involvement and your enlightenment. You know, I've had my home for 27 years, and this is going to be the strangest analogy ever, so hang on, boys. In that 27 years, I've had the analog thermostat, I've had the digital thermostat, I've had the remote-controlled thermostat, I now have the Wi-Fi thermostat.
Wow.
Your spirituality and your soul is the same thing. You can't have the same everything from 30 years ago. I mean, it's you know, technology necessitates that we upgrade. Spiritually, we need to constantly be upgrading as well.
Yeah.
You need to always be doing work on yourself, always making changes, always making upgrades, so that you can then move to the next level and then help and heal more folks and then realize what next level you have to get to. Because I think that's why we're here in Soul School, is to evolve.
Absolutely. I mean, what else? And how have we as human beings come to where we are? There's the microcosm, there's us, but there's also the macro, which mm-hmm. is, you know, where were we at the time of, you know, the caves and what were we like? And you know, were we bent over? Were we monkeys? Were we apes? I'm not trying to get Darwinian here or anything else.
That's fine. That's all,
you know,
fits.
I'm just saying, like, you know, if there has been an evolution, wow. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Look at what we were like then, and then, you know, look at what we were like 2,000 years ago,
yeah.
You know, and think of Rome and the movement and the angst and the craziness of the development of the ego and the industrial age and believing that science could save everything and then realizing after two world wars that it definitely can't. Well, maybe you think it does. I don't know. But now we are on the brink of a very, very special time,
yeah,
where we've come through a lot of that ego and a lot of this sense that we can control everything and realize that we've created problems that have gone beyond our control through this idea that we can control. And now we have a sense of surrendering. I think many of us in the world, it's just, you know, please show us the way. And that's, I think, not just individually, but also collectively. Some of these things that have been happening kind of humble us, you know, these cyclones and hurricanes and various other natural disasters that make us kind of go, well, you know, not to mention a lot of other things culturally and that are very upsetting in the world, and the way technology has made it easier for us to do everything, but also easier, you know, just easier for us to destroy ourselves, both individually and collectively. Mm-hmm. So the reflection is, it's pretty intense right now. But it's also an opportunity for incredible change, spirituality, a blossom time for all of human beings. And it's, you know, it's not just a conjecture. It's been talked about by the Mayans, been talked about by in the Markandeyan Puranas. You know, poets of 14,000 years ago talked about this time. And it's nothing that hasn't been predicted, you know. But there's a beautiful side to it. And I think when we stay within the beauty of this raising the vibration,
yeah,
whether it's at the in the music halls or the radio shows like Raising the Vibration, it's about keeping within that track and then seeing where we can all go with that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and I think we've gotten to a point in our lives as human beings on the earth where we need now to focus on raising the vibration because we want to make sure that we continue to evolve and don't wind up crawling back into the caves.
That's,
nothing is forever. You have to constantly maintain your existence.
And there is a time, you know, there's a climactic point to things where things really are pretty vital. I mean, you know, 2-minute warning, you're down a touchdown, you got to go in and score it and do the 2-point conversion. Otherwise, it's over. You know, and if evolution is like that for us at a certain point, well, then it pushes us and makes us perform at a higher level. And in this case, performance means surrender. Go deeper, and really go within what I call the Hadal zone.
I have absolutely no idea what you just said, but I think it has something to do with sports.
Yeah, I just like to marry sports, the deepest part of the ocean, and then, you know, the legendary yeah, mystics of all time.
I like to do the analogy of my spiritual enlightenment and my thermostat replacement.
is, after all, talk radio.
But I think we live in a world where, you know, technologically, things become outdated and we can no longer, you know, you can have your same computer from 1985, but it's not going to do a whole lot for you. Unfortunately, human beings, sometimes we are reluctant to actually upgrade until we have to. We don't want to get rid of the old thing until it doesn't work anymore and nobody will use it. Then we get the new thing. We need to not be that way with our spirituality and our emotionality and our cultural enlightenment. I mean, you don't have to wait until something's obsolete to change.
Right.
We only have so many years here on the earth, and we need to, you know, continually evolve. Colby, are you a spiritual person, and were you before the music, before this music?
I mean, I guess so. I mean, I just find my spirituality through music. So, I mean, even when I'm playing, like, I'm practically meditating.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
So. But did you feel that way even when you were playing the quads and marching band?
Yeah. I mean, my focus in that way, too, went very deep. But there was always so much going on, like on the football field, so many other things to pay attention to that I don't know if it goes as deep as it does with tabla.
Right.
Like, you're just there, and it's just you. And all you do is focus in on what that music is telling you to do. And it's improvisational. So you're sort of bringing out who you are through it, which with quads, it's completely structured in one way. Like, you play every note perfectly, and you don't deviate from that. So
right.
It's somebody else's, you know, somebody else's ego placed onto that music, whoever composed it.
Right.
And it's not you creating music. So
do you remember the first time that you saw a drum or you knew you wanted to play a drum?
Yeah. I mean, that actually started from my brother, Corey, who he was playing drum set before me, and I was like, that's super awesome. I'd like to play drum set. So I doodled on it a little bit, but it wasn't very good. And then he went into he did marching band first, and I saw him playing the marching band drums, and I thought that was awesome, so I followed him in his full
footsteps. And he played the quad drums as well?
No, he actually played, like, timpani and
marimba
and stuff. And
that's cool.
I originally wanted to do that, too, but then when I went into high school, I auditioned, and they put me on quads, and then I fell in love with that. So,
wow. Okay. Yeah. The marimbas.
Yeah.
Very groovy.
Yeah.
The timpani's very groovy.
Yeah.
But that's it. You gravitated towards the indigenous instruments.
Yeah.
You wanted to play the more indigenous stuff.
True.
And then you found your way back to it.
Yeah. True.
That's wonderful. Now, at Cal Arts, did you learn about everything, all different kinds of drumming?
You know, whatever they offer, which is that same stuff that I was mentioning earlier.
Just right.
They have the Indonesian program. They have the African program. They have Indian program. What else do they have? I think that's, you know, the main three, though.
That's fantastic. So when you went there, you knew you were going to be studying...
No, I thought I was going to be... Going to be in an orchestra someday and
okay.
and do, like, you know,
and play
maybe
toms
play for like LA Phil or something.
And, oh,
but everything changed.
Wear a tuxedo. And,
yeah, so now I wear purple tuxedos.
Nice.
Yeah,
but now you're fabulous. That's awesome.
Yeah, but it, yeah. It's
how did you guys meet?
We met through mutual friends. I think mutual yeah. musicians. Mm-hmm. Sarod players are always looking for tabla players, mm-hmm. and I think tabla players like to you know. Get together with sarod players and mm-hmm. you know, play gigs and stuff.
That's awesome. I mean, is there a place where everybody hangs out?
Well, Cal Arts is you know, it's definitely a hub because there aren't that many places where people go and learn to play Indian classical music. Cal Arts is one of them. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, was hanging out a lot up at Cal Arts with different musicians and tabla players and things like that. I think Vineet Vyas was up there when you
Is
were there.
Vineet or Neil?
Yeah, Neil. And a couple different tabla players that mm-hmm. I was working with. And I think maybe Neil, you know, gave me your number, you know, because not every tabla player is available at every time for every different thing. So that's how we met.
That's then, awesome.
Yeah.
Now, how would this change? Because you specified, Colby, North Indian music.
Mm.
What if it was Southern Indian music?
Actually, the second raga, Rag Kirvani, is a South Indian
okay.
Piece. Now, but then there is Carnatic music, so that's pretty much completely different. That's a different kind of mood. The rhythms are divided differently, and therefore the expression is different. So this was, it was a South Indian raga, but we were playing North Indian music style, Hindustani style. Whereas, you know, if we were playing in South Indian style, there'd be a Gautam and, you know, mm-hmm. probably a Veena and mm-hmm. a different.
I don't know what those things are.
Yeah, they're different types of. Gautam is a round clay pot that is, you know, percussive. And a Veena is the original, actually, stringed instrument that was the original that, you know, Sarod came from or the sitar came from and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The Veena is actually depicted in the Saraswati, the deity that's depicted with the...
Okay,
you know, that's the
I know
Veena.
What that is.
Yeah, that's the Veena. Again, a stringed instrument with the sympathetics and lots of strings.
So instead of the Sarod and the tabla, you'd mm-hmm. have the clay pot and the...
The Veena.
And the Veena.
Yeah, for instance.
Interesting. So same kind of stuff, just different sounds, different
yeah.
tones?
Yeah, different tones, different divisions of the beat and different, you know, rhythmic cycles and, mm. and you know,
sometimes too,
different
like,
language.
Even in the rhythm side, that the North Indian side will have, let's start from the South. The South Indian side of rhythm will tend to be more mathematically perfect.
Mm. Okay.
That is their aesthetic, that they like things to work out perfectly mathematically. From what my understanding is, on the North Indian side, they can stretch a little bit more to make things work, and so it's about the they're not being a little bit more stretchy about it sometimes, that they'll favor that aesthetically than rather than being mathematically perfect all the time.
Okay.
Within the cycle.
That's more, the North Indian is not as mathematically perfect.
Correct.
It's more flowy.
Yeah.
Which adds more spirituality.
Yeah, South Indian music is a different kind of expression of creativity and spirituality. But I think when we think of spirituality in Indian music, as Westerners, we think of the Ravi Shankar North Indian music and
sure.
the connection with the Beatles and the 70s and the hippies. And, you know, that's kind of what I think our association is.
Right. He played the sitar, right?
Yeah, and that's North Indian. So that's the connection we're making anyway, at least with that movement. And which in essence, you know, was a spiritual movement as well, you know, the whole
Absolutely.
60s and 70s. And
well, again, people were seeking.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a seeking time.
Right.
And I think people seek sometimes to things that that are completely unknown.
Mm.
And at that time, India became kind of a cool thing.
Because
I think a lot of the Indian spirituality, like you said, it fit with the hippie movement very well.
Yeah, I mean, it fits really with seeking, period.
Right.
You know, so many different saints and sages lived in India.
Mm-hmm.
Buddha and, you know, various others that that chose to be in India, Rama, Krishna, that was where they incarnated. And, you know, there's a reason for that. And when you travel to India, and many of you probably have had this experience, the energy comes up, the energy actually of the Kundalini will actually be stimulated, and you can actually feel it in your body, the vibration. Talk about raising the vibration.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just, you know, vibrating like crazy.
And I think that's a thing. I mean, I always say this, and this is going to sound so weird, and you might both run screaming from the studio, but when I can't eat Indian food a lot, because when I eat Indian food, I feel like it's chemically altered me. Like, after I've had an Indian meal, I just want to, like, take off all my clothes and run down the street and want everyone to love me in every way possible, in all capacities, because there's something about it that... Because, you know, in ancient times, right, spices were medicine.
Mm.
So when you're eating something with a ton of spices in it, you're, in essence, putting ancient medicine in your body, and it things happen to you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something about spicy food. Actually, again, it stimulates this part of the limbic area.
I feel the same way when I burn essential oils, when I burn sticks. I mean, I lose my mind around Nag Champa. I can't concentrate because it just smells so amazing, and it just makes me want to live in my higher self, and my feet don't even touch the ground. I have to be careful when I burn it in my own home. If I want to get anything done, put the Nag Champa away. Because I will just sit around and write and sing, and I will not, you know what I mean? I won't get anything done.
Yeah.
So it's, but again, that's the smells and the chemicals and the spices and the herbs and all the things that go into candles and oils and scents and,
Now add a raga to all that, and
then I do sometimes add a raga to it, and then nothing's getting done. I'm just going to sit around and meditate all day and sit in the hot tub for 12 hours.
You might be evolving though. Faster.
I'm evolving very quickly, but in the 3-dimensional world, nothing is getting done.
Yeah, there's the dimensional world. Yeah,
and sometimes you have to be in the dimensional world.
It's true. Yeah,
but I don't know what it is about. Maybe it's just something about the amount of magnetic spiritual energy in India. That even things from India make you feel like that.
Yeah, again, the different qualities of the chakras, I always go back to it because I lived in India and learned about these things, and that each of the countries actually exhibit a connection with the different chakras and manifest in our bodies. So India in particular is connected to that Kundalini energy, which rises and then up to through the Sahasrara.
Huh.
So
I'll have to find out what chakra Ireland is connected to.
It's the heart. It's related to the heart.
Well, there you go.
No surprise.
Yeah. Look, you know all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You
lived in India.
Yeah. I know.
So many times.
So you're in India and someone's just sitting around saying, hey, what chakra's Ireland? And then somebody said something? I mean, that's amazing that you just knew that.
That, and also I, at a young, you know, 2021, I started to do Sahaja Yoga, and there's a lot of knowledge in Sahaja Yoga that comes from India, but is also... you know, connecting the chakras and the different things. And then I got to live it. What was cool was that, you know, I learned a lot of that as a Westerner, but then I got to live it for 3 years. So it's like it really became you know, not just a Western person trying to absorb something or understand it or, you know, kind of integrate it, but it just started to happen from inside out. Waking up at 5 a.m. to, you know, the mom of the house, who was like the grandmother, you know, ringing a bell and just singing it, this incredibly joyous song, just lift your soul and make you vibrate from head to toe with joy. And I mean, having an experience like that every day was just, you know, just the most humbling, incredible, amazing sort of thing that ever could happen. I mean, it was all part of learning the Sarod as well.
So awesome. We are completely out of time.
All right.
We just burned right through that show, didn't we?
Yeah.
In no time at all. Where can people find the CD, Stephen? Where can they get it? Where can they find you? And then Colby, where can they find you?
Well, the CD is in the crowdfunding stage, Indiegogo. So if you search One Heart Road on Indiegogo or Stephen Day, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Stephen Day, or my website, stephendaymusic.com. Again, it's S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Day Music. Any one of those places, Indiegogo. And it will be out in the physical form. The crowdfunding will end mid-August, and we'll go from there. So you can just keep in touch. Send me an email. And looking forward to being in touch.
Beautiful. Colby?
Actually, I have a website. It's colbybeers.com. But it's actually down right now.
Okay.
So just wait a month. It'll be back. But
Are you a social media person?
Yeah, I do Facebook. But
all right. Okay.
But website.
If you missed the links, Sheena, you can go to sheenametal.com. You can go to raisingthevibrationradio.com. LATalkRadio.com. I will gladly forward the links over so you can contact both of these guys. Until we see you next week from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on LA Talk Radio, a specific time always. Remember the cornerstone words of this movement, peace, love, kindness, and unity. Just because we don't have peace on Earth right now doesn't mean it's something we should think is out of the grasp of what could happen for us as human beings. But it's not going to happen if it doesn't start with you. Peace starts from within us, and then it spreads to outside of us, and it spreads out to the people we love, and then it spreads out to our community and our cities and our states and our countries and the Earth. So keep peace in your heart. The best way to do that is with love. Always live in love. Be love. Lead with love. Always think about love as the answer to everything. And if you can't make love the answer, then find a way to fix the problem and then make love the answer. And the best way to do that is with kindness. There is no limit for how kind you can be. There is no amount of kind acts that you can do that is too many. Be kind in everything you do and spread kindness wherever you go. And lastly, unity. We are one human family, my friend. If the ragas didn't teach you that, and you don't know that from me every week, you got to learn that. And if we're going to continue to live on the earth with each other, you don't have to love what everybody does, and you don't have to like and want to be like everybody on the earth, but you have to acknowledge that we have to live here and we have to work as one human family and live in the light. Or because the answer is just really nasty and gross, and I don't even want to think about it. So peace, love, kindness, and unity. Always bring those things into your life and grow them in your life. Try to be an enlightened and sentient person and evolve. Just continue to evolve. And like Stephen said, just be a seeker. And whatever you do, remember to always be raising the vibration. I'm Sheena Metal. Till we see you next week, keep doing all those things. Keep raising the vibration. Thank you for listening. And I really appreciate that you're here. I love you all. And we'll see you next time on Raising the Vibration Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.